Take your Bible and turn to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles, that's in the Old Testament, and it's right after 1 Chronicles. You got 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, and then you have 1 and 2 Chronicles. And we're going to look at one verse that most all of you will be familiar with. Tonight we'll start our revival. Let me say a few things about revival. Revival is not necessarily for lost people to get saved and come to Christ. Revival is for saved people that have been saved so long they forgot how it was to be lost. And once the saved folks get revived, then you'll see people come to Christ and be saved. Evangelism is a product of revival. And so revival must take place. And we're going to look at a verse tonight. I'll say the greatest need in America today is revival. The greatest need in our churches is revival. The greatest need in our schools is revival. The greatest need in our homes is revival. There's enough born-again, Bible-believing Christians in America to turn this world upside down for Christ. There's enough of them. And we don't need any new members. We need the old members made new. We don't need any new members. We need the old members to become new. And if every saved person, every born-again Bible believer was in church on Sunday morning with their Bible in their hand, what would we be able to do in America today? 2 Chronicles chapter number 7 and verse number 14. If you have an old Schofield reference Bible, it's on page 496. 2 Chronicles 7 and 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray right now that you'd bless our time together. Lord, we cannot survive unless you send revival. And Lord, I pray that you'd do that for us tonight. Lord, don't wait. Don't wait till tonight. Start it in our hearts and lives today. Lord, please, would you look our direction? Shine down upon this place. Save that one that's near his tail. Lord God, I pray in Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. If every born-again saved person was in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, there's no telling what America could become. There's not a business in America that could operate with the same amount of absentees than the best attended church had last Sunday. No school could operate. No school could carry on if you had the same percentage of absentees that most churches have all across America. I remember the Wales reading about the Wales revival. The Wales revival, they had them old coal miners. They'd take them old mules and they'd go into them coal mines. And revival broke out in Wales. And they had to retrain the mules because the mules didn't understand what the miners were saying because they'd got saved. And they quit cussing the mules. And the mules didn't know what they was talking about. The mules didn't know whether to turn right, turn left, go straight, hoe, or keep on going. Why? Because revival had broke out. And when revival broke out, it changes your language. It changes your heart. It changes your mind. It changes your attitude toward the things of God. Oh, that we would see revival like it was in the old days. 2 Chronicles 7. I know what some of you are thinking. Oh, that's the Old Testament. That's talking about the nation of Israel. Well, I got news for you. Breathing started in the Old Testament too. Cornbread started in the Old Testament. So don't be so hyper that you can't get nothing out of 2 Chronicles. I think, if I ain't mistaken, if you just happen to just have to have a little Pauline on it, I think, if I ain't mistaken, Paul said the things that were written aforetime were written for our learning and admonition. And this Bible says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then we'll hear from heaven, we'll forgive their sin and heal their land. God says, people, if you'll do four things, God will do three things. This nation, 1776, ladies and gentlemen, I believe with all of my heart, was based upon the foundations of the Bible, based upon Christian principles, and look where we have become. We've insulted the Almighty God, and ladies and gentlemen, it's bringing mercy or judgment upon this country, and we need mercy from an Almighty God. I can remember when pregnancy outside of a marriage was a scandal. I can remember when homosexuality was a sin. I can remember when pornography was a moral sickness. I remember when marriage was sacred. I remember when child abuse was almost never heard of. I remember when women and ladies didn't smoke or cuss. I remember when you didn't have to lock your houses and your doors and your automobiles. I remember when drugs were something you got at the drugstore. Alcoholism was considered a sin, not a disease. I remember when all the Muslims were in the eastern countries. I remember in public schools, our students were allowed to pray. The Ten Commandments were posted on the wall. Public schools where creation was taught instead of the godless evolution. Oh, I remember, ladies and gentlemen, I remember a time when a high school graduate could read his own diploma. We have become a proud nation, wallowing in materialism and rotting in our own sins. Say, preacher, what do people think of America? Well, I'll tell you, people are laughing at our preachers. They're laughing at the prophets of God, and they're laughed at today. And if a newspaper reporter or one of those pundits could hear what we're talking about today, they would say we're extreme right-wing rhetoric, and we are the new terrorists. Well, I got news for you. It's the Bible what we're preaching. We're preaching truth. Hell is hot whether you believe it or not. Poison kills whether you believe it or not. If you put your tongue in a light socket, it'll shock you whether you believe it or not. Well, I don't believe in hell. It don't matter what you believe if what you believe ain't so.
Right.
Number one, I want to go ahead and get in the message before we get sidetracked. Number one, I want to show you a few things. If y'all hadn't heard yet, somebody told me that I was the new member of the Taliban on the radio the other day. And I got news for you. I'm your pastor, and y'all may elect this afternoon. Y'all may elect me this afternoon to not be your pastor. But if I could have reached through that radio, we could have took care of business. I'm a preacher. I ain't always been a preacher. First of all, God says, if my people, number one, I want to call your attention to the people that God has. The people that God has. Notice he says, if my people, I hear people all the time, oh, if Hollywood would do this. Oh, if Hollywood would stop putting all of them R-rated movies on the television. Oh, if the government would straighten up. Oh, if we had a conservative president. Oh, if we had the Republicans in the House and the Senate and the White House. Oh, if we had a Tea Party member that was a president. Oh, if we had Ted Cruz and all of his cousins and his nephews and his uncles in the House and the Senate and on the Supreme Court. Boy, revival would break out. I got news for you. The revival don't start at the White House. Revival don't start at the State House. Revival don't start at the schoolhouse. Revival starts at the church house. Then it'll spill over to the schoolhouse. Then it'll take over the State House. Then it'll go to the White House. We need to stop looking at what if everybody else did this or what everybody else did this. We need to start looking if my people.
Yeah. Right.
Oh, yes, my friend. Oh, if we could shut down all the pornographic literature, revival would break out. No, it wouldn't. Oh, if we could stop all the abortion clinics, revival would break out. No, it wouldn't. Oh, if we could vote out homosexuality and boy, everybody be against the law again to be a homosexual. Oh, a revival would break out. No, it wouldn't. Oh, if all the beer joints would shut down in Dyer County, Tennessee. Oh, if they would all burn down to the ground. Boy, we would have revival. No, we wouldn't. Now, some of you ain't like it. I felt a little kink on that. But I'm telling you what the Bible says. The Bible says if the abortion clinic, Bible don't say if the abortion clinic does this. The Bible don't say if the government does this. Bible says if my people. Revival's going to start. It's going to start right here with God's people. And if America falls and if an America fails, it's going to be the church's fault. And let me go a step further, because I am a preacher. It's the preacher's fault for not standing up for truth, not standing up for right, preaching for a paycheck, worried about who they're going to offend. We need the old time preachers like Jonathan Edwards, D.L. Moody, Billy Sunday, Mays Jackson, Billy Kelly, and all of those guys that preached. It didn't matter if it hair-lipped the Pope. They were going to preach and preach and preach. If my people. A woman got involved in politics, and boy, it just got all over. She was so involved in it. She was so enthusiastic. She told her husband, said, "Well, it looks like we're going to sweep the state." Her husband says, "Well, I suggest you start on the back porch." I got news for you people. If we're going to have revival, the church needs to start on the back porch, on the front porch, on the side porch, and let's get the church right before we try to get everybody else right. Hallelujah. Is there hope for America? Yes, there's hope for America, my friend, but it's going to start at the church house. The people God has, if my people, it's the people God has. Number two, the pride that God hates. Notice what he says. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves. What's the opposite of humbling yourself? Pride. Pride goeth before destruction, a haughty spirit before fall. This America that we live in is a prideful people. Pride to swell up, to rise and swell up, if you will. Pride says, I don't need God. I can make my own way. I know best for my life. I know how to run my family. I call the shots in my family. That, my friend, is pride. Pride refuses to listen. It always interrupts others. Pride likes to talk about itself all the time. Pride has an intense desire to be noticed. Pride believes that it deserves everything it gets. Pride is not thankful. Pride cannot be corrected. Pride does not like to follow instructions. Pride exalts itself in the presence of others. It brags. Pride criticizes and tries to make oneself look better by putting others down. Pride thinks of its own needs first. What's wrong with America? America is not humble. We're not a humble nation. We reek with pride and we strut around like a peacock in the face of God. And God will not bless a nation that is prideful and will not humble itself. Pride is the root of all kinds of evil. We live today in America filled with humanistic haughtiness. God, sometimes at times, God, make us humble. Oh no, don't pray that. Because God will. The Bible says, if we'll humble ourselves. If you want to get humble, you might want to do it yourself. Don't pray God to do it. You may not like the outcome. You may have a lot of money in the stock market. And God will just pull that stock market on down. To where you say, oh God, I need you now. You know, God may send a Hurricane Katrina through this way. Just to what? Humble people. Just to let you know that you can't do it without Him. We can't do it without Him. September the 11th, oh my friend, this church wouldn't have held the people after September the 11th. And oh, it doesn't last long, does it? Prideful. James 4 and 6 says, but He giveth more grace. Wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. God resisting America. God resisting the prideful. He gives grace to the humble. Now you look here. If my people, that's the people God has, which are called by my name, will humble themselves, that's the pride that God hates. Number three, the prayer God hears. The prayer that God hears. And there's some conditions on this prayer that God hears. I read a story about D.L. Moody, a famous evangelist from Chicago. He went on vacation. He was going to England. He wasn't planning on doing any preaching. He was planning on resting, going on vacation. And in the middle of his trip, a church called and said, oh, D.L. Moody, you're so famous. We want you to come by and preach at our church. D.L. Moody says, well, I wasn't planning on preaching. I was sort of on vacation, but if y'all want me to come, I'll come. He preached that Sunday morning, and that Sunday afternoon he went back to his motel. He wrote this in his journal. He wrote this. He said, that was one of the most deadest churches I've ever been in all of my life. We would have been better off to have it at the funeral home. And he says, the only thing worse than preaching in that church this morning is I've already promised them and I'll go back and preach tonight. And he had already made a promise. D.L. Moody went back to that pulpit. He preached that night. About halfway through his sermon, something changed in the room. Something began to happen. People started to liven up. People started to say an amen again, and praise the Lord again, and hallelujah again. D.L. Moody got down to his invitation time, and he said, if those of you that want to trust Christ as your personal Savior, would you please stand to your feet? Half of the congregation stood to their feet. He thought they misunderstood what he said. Sometimes, you know, us preachers, we get tongue-tied, we get fast, and we try. Sometimes we'll say, you know, Moses was in the ark and all that kind of stuff, and we just get all messed up. He thought maybe he didn't understand. He said, now listen, if you want to trust Christ as your personal Savior, would you please stand to your feet? Half of the congregation stood to their feet. He looks at the preacher. He goes, what do you want to do now? Half of your church is lost. What do you want to do now? And the preacher says, well, Brother D.L. Moody, I would suggest you come back tomorrow night and preach again. D.L. Moody says, I can't. I'm on vacation. He gets on a train, heads to England, and he's going up there. And when he gets to his place where he's going to vacation, he's got a note, a telegram that says, please come back. Revival has broken out. Amen. He gets back on the train, goes back to that church, and preaches 10 days at that dead, dried up church. 400 people come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. He began to inquire. What happened? What happened? This place was deader than 4 o'clock in the morning. That first Sunday morning I preached here. He began to inquire. And he found 2 80-year-old women. That went home Sunday afternoon. After the morning service. They fell on their face. And they prayed, God, you sent D.L. Moody our way, one of the greatest evangelists of this day. Please don't let him preach again without the Holy Spirit falling down upon this place. Send revival to our church. Would you please look our direction one more time? God, don't leave us dead and dried up on the vine. Lord, would you please send revival our way? All afternoon long, 2 80-year-old women prayed, fell out on their knees and prayed that God would send revival. And my friend, that was the change that took place, because the Bible says, if my people which are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. The prayer that God hears. Oh, that God would give us some more D.L. Moody's. Leonard Ravenhill said this: the church is dying on its feet because it's not living on its knees. The revival that broke out in Nineveh was all because people began to pray and seek the face of God. Notice the qualifications of this prayer: and pray and seek my face. We're not seeking the face of God. We're seeking the hand of God. We're wanting the hand of God to help us. But we don't want to seek the face of God. Sometimes our little children, I think Kayla used to do this when she's real little, I'd aggravate her. And I'd probably, you know, you don't aggravate your kids, but I aggravate mine. And, you know, she'd be trying to tell you something. I'd pretend like I just watching TV or veering off, and she said, "Daddy, listen, I'm trying to tell you something." And I'd veer off. I was hearing her, but I was veering off. I was watching TV, yawning, you know, whatever. "Daddy, listen to me." And then she'd get so aggravated, she'd take her face and say, "Daddy, look at me."
Yeah.
Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Come on.
Folks, the church needs to get God's attention.
Yeah. Yeah.
Say, "God, would you please look this way? Would you please? We want to see your face. We want to see your face shine upon this congregation, upon Dyersburg, Tennessee, upon Dyer County. Would you please look our direction?
Right.
Lord, would you please? Don't leave us dead and dried up on the vine. Would you please? Lord, look this way. Smile this direction. Seek his face." You say, "Preacher, how do you seek the face of God?" Well, he gave us 66 books to find out the face of God. Seek his face. And this is what he said: turn from your wicked ways. Turn from your wicked ways. Say, "Preacher, what are you talking about?" A prayer for revival without repentance is a religious farce.
Right.
We sing "God Bless America" while killing little babies. We sing "God Bless America" while sodomy struts down the main streets with pride. We sing "God Bless America" when God is cursed and you can't even mention God in public. We sing "God Bless America," but God says, "I ain't blessing America no more until she turns from her wicked ways." I remember a story in the Old Testament, Joshua, after they defeated Jericho, they went on to another little place called Ai, two letters, Ai. And they went to that little place and they were going to defeat that place. And they were swelled with pride and they were going to defeat that place. And they were defeated by this little bitty old area. Joshua went back and said, "Oh God, why God did you let us get defeated? Oh Lord." Joshua said in a roundabout way, this is what it means in the Hebrew: "Joshua, get off your face. Israel has sinned."
Right. Yep.
"And until Israel gets right, I ain't letting y'all win nothing else."
Right.
"I'm tired of y'all taking me for granted."
Right. Yeah. Right.
Hallelujah. And basically, he said, "Josh, you can pray all you want to, but until you deal with repentance, and I'm telling you what, stop using prayer. It's not some smoke screen in which we can hide our pride and our sin."
Right.
Amen.
Repentance. The first message Jesus gave was a message of repentance. The last message that Jesus gave before he sent it to heaven was repentance. Luke 13:3, "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." Repentance is more than conviction of sin. We found that out by a fellow by the name of Felix. Paul preaching to Felix in Acts chapter number 24. And the Bible says that Felix trembled. He was under conviction. Felix says, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I'll call you. When it's more convenient for me." My friend, it's more than conviction of sin. Repentance is more than confession of sin.
Right.
Pharaoh said, "Moses, I've sinned." He confessed. "I've sinned." But it's more than just conviction. It's more than confession. The conviction that Pharaoh felt was born out of a storm, but it died in the calm. Y'all remember Desert Storm? Desert Storm come through God's people. That Sunday, boy, they flooded in on the church. September the 11th, they flooded in on the church. Hurricane Katrina, everybody flooded to the church. Didn't last very long. Why? Because the repentance that's born out of a storm will die in the calm. That's worldly repentance. Repentance is not conviction of sin. It's not confession of sin. It's more than contrition. Tears. You say, preacher, oh, it's got to be tears. Oh, no, it could be. It's tears may accompany repentance, but tears itself is not repentance. You say, preacher, what is repentance? It's a change of heart, mind, and attitude toward the things of God. Acts 20 and 21, testifying both to the Jews and to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, it's going to take repentance. America's going to have to repent. Holy Hills Baptist Church is going to have to repent. Dyersburg, Tennessee is going to have to repent. 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 Change your heart. Change your mind. Change your attitude. Turn from your wicked ways. Don't be like the little girl who prayed, Lord, make me good. Just good enough not to get a spanking.
Yeah.
A lot of times that's what we pray. America prays, Lord, bless us, fix us. Just enough where you won't be mad at us.
Right.
Yep.
Amen.
Now I may be wrong, but I think we have a church here that wants to see revival.
Right.
Let me say that again. I think, if I'm not mistaken, we have a church here that wants to see revival.
Amen.
And we've got the formula right here. It's going to be my people, God's people. If my people, if you're called by my name, if you're saved, he's talking to you.
Right.
It will humble ourselves, okay, that's number one, and pray, and seek his face, and turn from our wicked ways. Then God says he'll do something.
Amen.
God resisteth the proud. He says, these six things is the Lord hate, yea, seven is abomination unto him. A proud look. God hates pride. I remember the old time preachers, I've told it here several times. The old young preacher and the old preacher, they standing sitting on the front row like here. And they were sitting there getting ready to preach. And that young preacher, boy, you know, big crowd, you know. That young preacher, boy, he come up to that platform. Son, he had his Bible. Son, he was ready. I'm talking about he had all the alliterations and all the subpoints. And I mean, his grocery list was alliterated. And boy, I'm telling you what, he got up, take your Bible. And I mean, he, you know, learned all the hacking and all of that. And I'm talking about that sermon fell about that far. And didn't get off the ground. He bombed out. I've done it a bunch of times. I mean, struck one, strike two, strike three, and the Holy Spirit says, you're out. Well, that's safe. You're out. He walked back down like this. Sit down. The old preacher leaned over and said, son, if you'd have walked up on the platform like you walked down, you could have walked down like you walked up there. My, my. America, the people that God has, the pride God hates, the prayer that God hears, but the promises God honors. If God can send revival to England in the 16th century, if God can send revival to Mount Carmel, if God can send revival to Nineveh, if God can send revival to Jerusalem, he's the same God as yesterday, today, and forever. He's seated at the right hand of God the Father. He's a much alive and well. He's not dead. He's not even sick. He's never had a birthday. He's God Almighty, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. If he can do it, he can do it again.
Amen.
God's not a Republican, he's not a Democrat, he's not a Tea Party member, he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. If you got your hope in some of them, you got it in the wrong thing. You say, preacher, what about the sins of all the wicked people? Hey, We're not talking about the sins of all the wicked people, all the liquor dealers, all the Hollywood, all the pornography, and all the drug dealers. We're not talking about them. God says, if my people.
Yeah, right.
We need to stop pointing fingers. We need to get down on our hands and knees and get right with God. You don't want revival? You want revival? How many of you want revival? Okay, I'm going to tell you how to get it. You draw a circle on the floor. You get in that circle and say, God, send revival to this circle. That's how you have revival. It's going to start with you. It'll spread to somebody else, and it'll spread to somebody else. You say, preacher, I'll wait till tomorrow. Tomorrow you'll have more sins to confess than you had today. Might as well confess them today. There ain't no sense in waiting. Get it done today. You want to have revival? Hey, you want to? I was talking about on the way back from Millsfield this morning. Jonathan Edwards preaching. Oh, sinners in the hands of an angry God. And he wasn't a preacher that walked around and did illustrations and all. He read his sermon word for word just like this. He read sinners in the hands of an angry God. People in the congregation would. Under conviction. They were holding their feet up in the chairs, holding their feet up off the floor because they felt the flames of hell coming through the church floor. Where are those days? Where are those days where God would bless us and send revival our way? I'm closing. I've said this 100 times. I'm going to say it till my dying day. We got a lot of kids in this church. At one time we had 9 pregnant. Well, I don't know how many we got now, but at one time there was 9 of them. And I got up here and said, whatever you do, don't drink the water. Hallelujah. Babies, babies galore. Babies running out the nursery. Babies everywhere. Children's church. Got 2 different children's churches. Because it's just babies, kids everywhere. Young people. All classes, all ages. And I love to joke and I love to kid. And you men, women, listen to me real good. My heart desire is not to let them see. Or I don't want them to go through life and not see the move of God.
Right. Amen, brother.
Yeah.
Of yesteryear.
Thank God.
I would feel like my ministry was a failure if I didn't try my best. It's not me. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying try my best to do what God wants us to do. To the Lord, to send revival this way. So them kids can see what I saw as a young boy. And see some of the things that I've seen. And the move of God that I've seen.
Right.
Oh, that God would send revival again this way. If my people. Draw you a circle. Get in the circle. And say, God, I'm your people. Would you send revival to this circle? If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then God says, I'll do 3 things and I'm done. He'll forgive your sin. We'll hear from heaven, number one. Wouldn't you like to hear from heaven? He'll forgive our sins. Wouldn't you like to be forgiven? Wouldn't you like for Him to heal our land again? God says, I'll do. Some of us tonight, Mark, you come on the piano. Some of us this morning to go, God, we're waiting on you to send revival. God says, uh-uh. You're waiting on the wrong person. I said, if you do 4 things, I'll do 3. God's up there going, I'm waiting on y'all to get ready to have revival.
Right.
Oh, God, send revival. God says, I'm waiting on y'all.
Right.
I'm waiting on y'all. Would you like to see revival? There's the prescription. There's the formula right there. Heavenly Father, I pray right now, God, that you'd give us folks to fall down on this altar. Lord, pray for revival. Lord, may it start in my heart. Start behind.